You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to talk about the Fed and a whole lot more. Plus, it's the weekend, so let's have brunch. We are out at the Pullman Kitchen on 2nd Avenue, New York, having brunch, and I am joined by Vanessa Wong from Bloomberg Business Week and Nicholas Carlson from Business Insider. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Hello.
Here, cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, we clink. How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Yeah, very good.
All right. I want to start with the always exciting Federal Reserve. I know, it's a really thrilling topic. But here's the thing. We had Janet Yellen, the Fed chair, come out and basically say, yes, we are going to keep the Fed funds rate low for a considerable period of time. Basically, I'm not going to tell you guys when this is going to end. But it had me thinking, we are in this period of abnormal Fed behavior that has now become normal. And I wonder whether there's ever going to be a normal, or if all of this is just baked into the way markets and investors and economists and real people now have their financial world exist.
Right. Where are we on wage growth? I mean, maybe that's when things start to change. We start to look at maybe backing off from that, but it doesn't seem like we're there yet.
So. And it seemed like she was warning that, in fact, things may not look so good in the future. I mean, she was sort of saying, look, I want to keep my options open because I don't know that GDP is really going to be there, and I don't know that jobs are bouncing back.
Totally. And even though our unemployment rate is the lowest it's been since like September 2008, it's not that great. And even though they're forecasting the unemployment rate to drop to like 5%, I think, by 2017, not all of those will be full-time jobs. There will be part-time jobs. I think for like the average consumer, there is still like a large degree of insecurity about what their lives will be like and how much they'll be able to invest and whether they can afford a house.
You know, one thing the Fed doesn't take into account when they calculate inflation is food, right? So they subtract food and energy from how they look at inflation. Vanessa, you write about food and cover that. And I'm curious, when you talk to people, how much does food eat into their budgets? Because that's a place where we've actually seen prices rise a lot.
The price of food has gone up for key commodities like dairy. China's buying a lot of dairy right now, so the prices in the U.S. have gone up. Beef has fluctuated depending on what's going on with feed for cows. The cost of food for people is still fairly low, though. It's actually lower than it was in 1993.
Huh.
There was this interesting story about how the average percentage of a household's income going towards food was like greater, you know, 20 years ago. And we were also spending more on things like entertainment and books, which was pretty great. And now we're spending our money on
housing.
And healthcare, which is pretty grim. Like, take me back to the 90s. I want to read a book.
<Let's go. laughs>
Wait, we are going back to the 90s, though. We have a massive IPO. We have the Alibaba IPO, biggest IPO ever, right? It feels like the late 90s, early 2000s. We have this huge company going public that I still don't think I entirely understand what Alibaba does. Nicholas, what do they do?
Sure. So it's a mix of Amazon and Google. So the reason it's Amazon is that people go on to Alibaba. Actually, they go onto a site called Taobao or another one called Tmall, and they buy things.
In China.
So it's mostly Chinese consumers. They have this big thing called 11/11, which is Singles Day. That's like their Black Friday. It's just like a big Amazon in China. Now, the big difference between Amazon and Taobao or Tmall is that Alibaba, Tmall, Taobao don't own the stores. Actually, those are third-party vendors that come on and use Alibaba's platform to sell to consumers. And actually, Alibaba doesn't even charge those vendors to use the software. The only way they make money, and this is how they're like Google, is that when you go to Taobao or go to Tmall and you search for things to buy, the vendors can buy ads that will appear next to search results. So actually, sort of the reason Alibaba is so exciting is that it is literally the most profitable, valuable part of Google, which is the commercial searches, and that's it.
Oh, okay. So it's all about sort of ads and ranking and being at the top of your feed.
Absolutely.
Vanessa, one of your colleagues did the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever seen in terms of trying to explain how Alibaba works. Can you tell me the story?
One of our colleagues on the video side of Bloomberg, Sam Grobart, decided to experience firsthand how Alibaba works. So he decided to order like 290 pairs of brightly colored pants, like pants in Skittle colors, to see like if I...
To wear the rainbow.
Right.
Sure.
If I were, say, a retailer or just the average guy that needs 200 pairs of pants,
it was springtime.
Like, how would it work? Right. So you go on, you provide a description of what you need. There are manufacturers that come back to you, and you know, you basically select. He describes it as like online dating. You select the one that best matches your needs. So he got his pants for I think $9 each, which is pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But then the shipping added another, like, $7 per pair of pants.
Wow.
But it was pretty awesome. We had, like, 300 people in our office wearing Skittles-colored pants, which was pretty amazing.
I mean, the reason Alibaba is such a monster, and actually just, again, Taobao, that's the big one. We call it Alibaba because that's the corporate parent. The reason it's so big is because in China, they didn't really build malls. They just went from, like, basically villages to the internet information, you know, age. And so they leapfrogged our mall period. So now, you know, there's this booming middle class. They want to buy stuff. They want to consume. Consumerism is really big in China, obviously. And this is how they get it. And so, you know, it's just taking advantage of this massive market. It's big.
Vanessa Wong from Bloomberg Business Week and Nicholas Carlson from Business Insider. Thanks to you both.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.